This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP 180weightloss.com. Every Friday, we're happy to be joined by best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, who joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
What in the world is bothering John Feinstein today? That's usually a Jason question, but we'll start out with that.
In the world of sports, just in the world of sports.
Well, yeah, good call there, Jason, limiting me that way, and let's stick to that.
Yeah.
I guess a couple things. You know, this is the skeptical John. I was just amazed, and I know some people have commented on the other side, at the reaction to Bryce Harper winning the Home Run Derby on Monday. Full half page picture of the celebration. You know, the fact that Davey Martinez sat him out on Sunday in a real game. Fortunately for them, they won to quote prepare for the Derby. It's not real. It's batting practice. It's hyped up batting practice at Major League Baseball and ESPN have managed to sell to people as being something real. And what matters is, what does Harper do now when we start the second half of the season or this, you know, post All-Star break half of the season tonight, because that's what matters. It doesn't matter what he does in batting practice. And Pete, you know, I heard one of the ESPN talking heads say last night during the Cardinals Cubs game that Bryce had said that the first swing in the Home Run Derby was his best swing of the season. It's batting practice.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So you're upset,
and it's not real.
You're upset at the overreaction of it.
The overreaction, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, you know, I mean, people were acting as if the Caps won the Stanley Cup again. That was worth celebrating.
Right. Well, John,
that was real.
John, what I couldn't believe were the people that were outraged that they thought that Bryce and his dad were cheating.
Oh, who cares? I mean,
exactly.
Cheating in batting practice? Who cares?
That's what I thought.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, though, John. And I understand what your reaction. I think it's reasonable, right? I mean, it's an exhibition. You shouldn't get too carried away with it. But I do wonder, he seemed to really get a lot of pleasure from that. Could he gain any confidence from that to give him a little jump start?
That's the question. And if it turns out that way, great.
Right.
Then it did have some meaning, although he was 0-for-2 in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Although you can't judge anything on 2 at-bats.
Right.
But, you know, history says that guys who participate in the Home Run Derby, guys who get to the final and win, frequently their swings messed up for a while.
Well, he can't
mess
up anymore.
I mean, Aaron Judge last year hit like 2 home runs in August after he won the Home Run Derby. So who knows how it will affect him. And that, as I said before, that's the question. If he comes out, goes 3-for-5 tonight and hits a home run and drives in 4, great.
Mm-hmm.
Then you say, hey, the Derby got him started.
Yeah.
And then does it matter. Winning the Derby itself doesn't matter, or losing the Derby itself wouldn't have mattered. So it's you know, that you asked me the question, I gave you the answer. The other thing that I was more amused by than anything is, I went to swim yesterday morning, and I got and I came back to the locker room, and the TV was on, and your guy Eric had just birdied the fourth hole to go 2 under par.
Right.
And I'm sure they'd shown every shot he had hit till then. And all of a sudden, they have this graphic on guys over 40 who've won the Open Championship. He's 4 holes into the tournament. You know, come on.
Yeah.
And by the way, how's it going so far today?
He's 1 over.
He's 1 over.
It's all right.
Yeah, he's 1 over. Yeah,
right.
He's all right, which is what he's been in major championships this season, either all right at the Masters or lousy at the U.S. Open.
I mean,
we'll see.
The round of golf that Tommy Fleetwood played today was incredible.
Tommy Fleetwood's really good, Jason.
Man, he's really good.
You know, yeah. I mean, he almost won the Open, shot 63 on Sunday. He almost won the Open a year ago at Erin Hills. I mean, he's won a bunch of times on the European Tour. Americans don't know that much about him because he doesn't play over here, essentially except for the majors and a couple of other WGC events. But he's a really good player, and he's going to be a big-time factor on the Ryder Cup team for Europe this fall because he did not play in the Ryder Cup last in 2016.
Oh, he deserves it. He hits the ball so straight. It's incredible.
No, he's a very good player and a very good guy, too, by the way.
Hey, you're a Zach Johnson guy, aren't you?
I get along with Zach Johnson. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's always been very good with me, and you know, he's a guy who knows how to win major championships. So
sure he does.
Him being on top of that leaderboard is no fluke. And my guy Rory is just plugging away there, one shot out of the lead.
Yep. By the way, in 99 when they played this at Carnoustie, and Vandeveld blew the three shot lead on 18, I heard Billy Andre talking about this, and I had no idea. You probably did. He said that when he putted out for the 7 on 18, he thought he won the tournament.
You know, I'm not sure about that. I don't think that's true.
Well,
he did shake his fist when the putt went in. And Golf Channel did a piece yesterday.
Talk about
narcissistic. They did a piece showing Mike Tirico and Curtis Strange watching themselves call that 18th hole. I mean, can you get more narcissistic than that? But when Vandeveld makes it was about a 7-8 footer for 7, he does shake his fist, and Curtis says, "What is he doing? Did he think he'd won?" And I've never seen anything indicating that Vandeveld thought he had won at that moment.
Billy,
I think
John,
he shook his fist because he was relieved that he didn't lose the whole thing.
Billy Andrade said on the radio.
Andrade, by the way.
Billy Andrade said that Vandeveld told him that.
Well, maybe. I mean, if that's the case, then Billy knows better than any of us do. So I would never question Billy. He's one of the good guys out there.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Vandeveld also told me we had a big argument. It was actually at Kingsmill later that year that Cristiano Ronaldo was more famous worldwide than Michael Jordan.
Probably right.
Maybe. Although Jordan in 99 was still pretty famous. He had just won his 6th world championship in 7 years or in 8 years.
So getting back to the Nats, where would you rate this in terms of disappointments if the Nats do not make the playoffs this year based on what they have on the field?
Oh, I think it would be a huge disappointment. I mean, this team was put together to try to win a championship, obviously. And I think that Rizzo's going to do more between now and July 31st. Because for whatever reason, you guys asked me this a couple weeks ago, why aren't they performing better? My honest answer is I don't know. I mean, I know they had some injuries early in the year, but they were actually playing better back then when they were banged up than since guys have come back. Now, Zimmerman's coming back tonight. Strasburg's coming back tonight. We'll see how much that helps. Adams was great, you know, the first couple months of the season replacing Zimmerman. It's not like their production level went down with Adams at first base instead of Zimmerman. Interesting story in today's post about the relief pitchers feeling they've been overused by Davey Martinez. He's a rookie manager. He's learning as he goes. We'll see how he handles the bullpen in the second half. But they need the starters other than Max Scherzer to perform better than they have. That's why the bullpen has been so taxed. Because the start, I mean, Tanner Roark has been awful. Gio Gonzalez has been better lately, but very inconsistent. And Scherzer's been great. Strasburg was okay before he got hurt, 3.46 ERA. But the question is, can the Phillies and the Braves keep playing the way they did the first 90 games? They're both very young teams. They've never been in a pennant race in September. Interestingly, the Nationals haven't really been in a pennant race in September because the years they've won, they ran away with the division. The one time they were in a real pennant race in 2015 with the Mets, they lost.
Yeah.
So let's see if there is a pennant race in September, which I expect there probably will be, how each of those teams handles it.
So the Ravens start training camp yesterday. I guess it's kind of a slow roll for them. I don't think everybody was reported, but
You know, they're playing the Hall of Fame game, so they're in a little bit early.
So they get a little bit early, but I think we're still less than a week away from the Skins. I think they open next Thursday. What are the NFL storylines that interest you heading into this season?
Well, you brought up the Ravens, and obviously the fact that they drafted Lamar Jackson with the last pick of the first round is something people are going to pay attention to, because you don't draft a guy in the first round to be your backup. Now, maybe for a year. I mean, Flacco's clearly the starter, but Harbaugh's already talked about using Jackson and Flacco at times together. That would be interesting to see. They've got Robert Griffin on the roster at the moment. That's certainly a storyline, even to this day. Excuse me. Although, if he makes the team, it's almost certainly going to be as a third stringer, as a guy, an emergency quarterback. Then you go around the league. The Patriots have made a bunch of changes. You saw the Danny Amendola quotes yesterday about Belichick. It's interesting how whenever a guy leaves the Patriots, the first thing he does is rip Belichick. Hmm. All Belichick does is win championships.
Right.
And he talks about how Adam Gase is a cool guy. Well, it's great to be a cool guy. I would rather play on a team that goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Gase is a cool guy that's going to go 6-10 and lose his job, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's coached for two seasons, and he's .500, so he's a cool guy. I mean, I actually wrote something this morning in which I said, was Vince Lombardi a cool guy? Was Don Shula a cool guy? Was Chuck Knoll a cool guy? I mean, come on. You're not paid to coach in the NFL. Joe Gibbs wasn't a cool guy. All they did was win. So I find that interesting. And then, of course, the NFC East is actually fascinating, because you got the Eagles, the defending champions, with Carson Wentz presumably coming back. You expect them to be good. The Cowboys were very disappointing last year. You would expect them to bounce back. The Giants were awful last year. They completely cleaned house, but they still have Eli Manning playing quarterback. And then you have Washington. With, as you guys know, I think the Alex Smith move was one of the best moves they've made in years. Hmm. They should be better. The question is, how much better? It's not like Kirk Cousins was bad. You know, it's not like they had Tom Savage playing quarterback and now they've got Alex Smith. They had a good quarterback, and now they have, I think, a slightly better quarterback. And the question in that division, I think those intra-division games are going to be critical, as they were last year when the Eagles dominated, beating the Cowboys twice, beating Washington twice, beating New York twice, and that's what really launched them.
I know that when Alex first came into town, I think you sat down, maybe you had lunch with him or whatever, you know, you have this relationship with him. Have you kept in touch with him? I'm wondering how he, you know, how he feels several months in. Is he impressed by the organization, that sort of thing?
He's very happy right now. Now, he hasn't lost a game. He hasn't been criticized. He hasn't thrown an interception. You know, I brought up my feelings about Dan Snyder to him. I was honest with him. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, geez, you know, I mean, Dan's been great to me since I got here. I said, Alex, you're the most important person in his life. Of mm-hmm. course he's been great to you. And, you know, I understand his perspective on that. But he's really happy with where he is. This was a place it's not like he went to Andy Reid and said, trade me to Washington. But when Andy Reid told him he was trading him to Washington, he was relieved, because there were rumors that they were going to trade him to the Browns.
Right.
He certainly didn't want to go to the Browns. Nobody wants to go to the Browns.
Did he mention like his any fondness for Jay at all?
For
Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden.
He said he loved playing for a guy who was a quarterback. Mm. He loves the setup because he's got Gruden and he's got Matt Kavanaugh, who are both quarterbacks. I mean, Kavanaugh was in the NFL for like 12 years as a quarterback and won a couple of Super Bowls as a backup to Joe Montana. So he's very comfortable with those two guys. He made a point to me when we were talking about his career that, you know, the first two coaches he played for in San Francisco were Mike Nolan and Mike Singletary, who were both defensive coaches.
Right.
And he felt they didn't really have a complete understanding of the quarterback position. And then he played for Jim Harbaugh, who was a quarterback, and Andy Reid, who was an offensive guy his whole coaching career, and felt like that was played a key role in his career turning around. And now he's playing, you know, basically for two quarterbacks, and he's very comfortable with that.
I like it.
I think he has a big year.
I think he's going to be really good in this town because he's a good player. He's honest. you know, it, whatever you want to say about Kirk Cousins, like Kirk was always politically correct, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I hope I'll be here for a long time. He had no intention of being here, and I don't blame him for that. Alex is going to be honest with the media, which the media respects. And if, you know, if he plays poorly, he's going to come in and say he played poorly. I saw that last year when they had the slump in Kansas City. He took the whole blame when, in fact, there were times when it wasn't his fault. Other times he didn't play that well. And he's, I think he's going to be a re- I think he's going to be a star in this town. And I'm biased, of course, because I like him and I worked with him all last season.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, I wanted to give you a little I know you like hearing our betting stories. So Cakes and I have a bet on on the British Open today because we have a European Tour expert that works with us. His name's Matt Valdez.
Yes, correct.
And he, yes, of course.
And he came in early in the week. He says, this is the lock of the century. Oliver Wilson, who's a British golfer, plays on the European Tour, is matched up against Sam Locke, who works at Starbucks.
He's an amateur. He's not. I believe
he's a barista.
19
John.
Years old.
He's 19.
He's played the course once before in his life.
Yeah.
Oliver Wilson's a pretty good player.
Yeah, well, Oliver Wilson needs to play the rest of today's round at 2-under for us to push the match. Because Oliver Wilson's 5-over, and Sam Locke, who works at Starbucks,
right, balled out.
Finished at 3-over.
The birdieing barista.
He finished at 3-over. He's in.
He's in at 3-over.
So you got to give Valdez some credit for that call, right?
No, well, he told us to bet on Oliver Wilson.
No, he
told you to bet on. I'm sorry.
He thought
don't
the barista
give
was going to blow
that.
Up. Yeah.
Well, this is why. This is one of the many reasons why I never bet.
Smart.
Because I allegedly know what I'm talking about. And occasionally I'll get one right. I remember I picked Phil Mickelson to win the Open in 2013 on Golf Channel, and everybody acted like it was a miracle. I got it right because it was. Mm-hmm. But basically my last correct pick, my last correct prognostication, I think, was Bush over Dukakis in 1988. And that wasn't exactly a hard call.
Yeah, that was a landslide.
Right.
So just wanted to give you that
thank
update.
You, John. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right, fellas, enjoy. See ya.
All right.
So Cakes is going to be out of pocket 400, and I'm going to be out of pocket 180.
Now, here's the question. This was Valdez's big bet. I should rob sure it. Did you actually put any money on it?
Yeah, of course I put money on it.
How much you have
put
on it?
$20 on it.
$50?
No, it was my big bet, so I put 180 to win a Hunsky.
Oh, you did?
He's going to be feeling
the boys
it too.
Are going to lose $780
possibly
on Valdez's brainchild.
Most likely.
Right.
You should feel terribly guilty.
I should go in sales.
Yes, you thought he was going to be the bogeying barista.
Yeah.
That's the birdieing barista.
How many birdieing baristas?
What hole is Wilson on?
Wilson just bogeyed 4. He's 2-over.
No, he's done. He's done. It's the worst pick ever.
It's a Travis Sham mockery.
See, right. I hated that bet.
It's the moment, lock of the century.
Now, the moment it came out of his mouth.
Now, six.
You bet on a volleyball. Wilson.
I'm just going to Venmo you the money. And act like I never won it during the World Cup.
Was
it's
it
fine.
Six? Now, six is a par five. That's birdieable.
No, it's right.
Are your World Cup winning
ship
done?
Ship sailing.
Weren't you way up?
At one point,
like,
were you up
like
at your peak?
I like 700 in the World Cup.
What was your peak, though, before you gave some back? You're up about
700 was my... Oh, my peak.
No, I mean, your peak was like 900.
It was like 8 and change.
Yeah, it was like 800.
What's going to be left after the 400?
Like not much.
300-ish.
Oh, that's
still
not bad.
I mean, it's kind of enough, though.
Don't worry. The days of listening to Valdez's tournament matchups are done.
Over!
Especially European Tour
so
players.
So soccer draft
he
done.
Never sees play.
Golf Valdez done.
JF from Oldie not done.
Jason just doesn't remember when I whipped his ass every week on Big Fat Winners.
Yeah.
Well, those are teams you actually see play.
Fighting words.
You wouldn't know Oliver Wilson be punching the face.
Nobody in here would.
Right.
It's the lock of the century.
He can still win.
Right.
What a loser.
This guy, Sam Locke, might outplay Tiger.
You guys, next time, can we just take $800 and just light it on fire in the studio? We
sure.
get more pleasure out of that.
I mean, yeah, it's at least more.
Next time you have a brainchild, I can't miss her.
I get more pleasure out of this angst. That's too quick. This is great.
Oh, man.
Stupid British golfers.
All right, we'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, time for the entertainment page here on the Junkies.
All right, boys. You know, the ESPYs were the other night. This story just jumped out at me, made me laugh.
I'm curious. Is there any news on the ratings on that? Because the All-Star game got a 2.0. It'd be really embarrassing if the ESPYs beat it. We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
America's Got Talent beat the All-Star game in the ratings.
I guess I'm surprised. Nah, probably not surprised by that.
I mean, 8 million-ish people, it seemed like, tuned into the
What's a standard All-Star rating? I mean, I think
it was the lowest ever.
Oh, was it?
It's bad.
All right. Well, that's bad then.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
What are you going to do?
I was in a restaurant. We had softball practice that night, and I was in a restaurant, and the volume was down. Was the Jim Kelly tribute moving? It looked like it was. I mean, people were just crying in the...
I'm sure it was if I watched it.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
Yeah.
Did anybody see it? Drabby, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Was it moving?
Yeah, of course.
There were people crying.
He was talking about how in tough times, you always just got to keep your smile. That every time his daughters came to visit him, they never frowned. They lifted him up by being positive.
Right.
Yeah, it was nice.
Where does he stand in terms of the cancer?
Well, it says he's going back for a checkup after something popped up at his most recent. So it doesn't sound good. I think it's his third battle with oral cancer. It's just relentless.
Sucks.
So it's awful. Yeah. Valdez.
Keep dipping.
Yeah, I don't know why he does that. Tristan Thompson was at the ESPYs, and it's hilarious. They're saying Tristan acted like he was a free man. Tristan goes wild without Chloe during the ESPYs after party.
I can only imagine.
Apparently, Chloe kind of begged him not to go to this club, but shocker, he went over there. They said he was in a hoodie.
He's looking for them bottle rats, Valdez.
He hadn't been out at a club without Kardashian by his side since his cheating scandal blew up months ago, but he took full advantage once the reality star loosened the leash. He had the biggest smile on his face and was flirting with several cute girls and took one in the corner and exchanged numbers, an insider told Radar Online. He was real slick with it.
Not that slick. Everybody picked it up.
The sleaze ball went incognito in a hoodie at the club after his baby mama begged him not to go.
How does a 6'10 guy or 6'11 guy go incognito?
You can't be incognito when you're that tall.
It's impossible. Impossible. So apparently he had convinced Chloe that he had to make an appearance for business reasons.
Business.
And to catch up with his friends since everybody was in town for the ESPYs. So, I don't know. That's always funny. It makes me laugh.
Now, Ovi didn't show up, did he? Because Ovi won male
athlete
of the year.
Did he not accept his award? He wasn't there to get it?
I have no idea.
I don't know. He won hockey player
of the
year.
Maybe still in Mother Russia.
He won like a male athlete of the year.
Oh, that's what it was, male athlete.
Male athlete of the year. Yeah, it was like overall, which I think was the first time a hockey player had won that. This is a great story. The iconic Brady Bunch house that we all watched growing up on television, built in 1959.
Has it been sold?
On the market. We can buy it if we can pull our money and buy it.
I want to guess. Where is it? I know it's in California. What?
North Hollywood.
All right. I'm going to say it's on the market for $850,000.
There are pictures of it.
You're way low.
Yeah, you're way low. You're
super low. It's California. $2 million.
Yeah. I feel like it's not a big
house.
It's
like this big.
It's on a 12,500 square foot lot, which is not overly large.
Right.
It's going for $1.8 million.
Oh, what a shack. I would never pay $2 million for that house.
Would you?
Yeah, but it's got a lot of good memories in it.
Brady Bunch house.
Right. Oh, it's got a lot of good Brady Bunch memories.
It's kind of a Nubs kitchen, if I recall.
It is decorated.
If it came
horribly.
With Alice, though, if it came with my own personal maid
and Sam
chef.
The butcher. You throw Sam in, right. Fresh that, cuts of meat.
That it wasn't filmed in the house.
That's
those
just
are all
the
studios.
Just the exterior.
You don't know
exterior.
What the kitchen looks like. No clue.
Well, the floral wallpaper,
yeah.
The window coverings and everything, it hasn't been updated. It looks terrible.
Right.
I mean, you just never.
You'd
I mean,
be throwing $2 million away.
But looks how? Like I mean, it wasn't built by the architect. Is that what Mr. Brady was?
He was.
That's right, he was.
It was built in 1959, I believe.
Yeah. It actually has a silly backyard.
Where the top of the tube fell off and his architect plans fell off.
I think I don't remember that episode. I've seen every episode. Of course I remember it.
Ariana Grande apparently may not be getting that fairy tale ending after all.
Was the fairy tale ending?
Well, she wanted to marry that.
Marrying Pete Davidson?
Pete Davidson, the dunk comedian.
Didn't they just meet? Like 10 minutes
ago? Yeah, they just met.
He's the guy who's holding?
He's actually pretty funny on SNL, if you give him a chance.
I think he might be alleged to be holding.
He's holding.
Sneaky.
He's a Kushner?
Yeah.
He's sneaky. He's one of those sneaky guys.
He might be a Kushner.
Right. He's a Holden Kushner. They're saying, they were dating just for a few weeks before they got engaged, but Ariana didn't know who Pete really was and fell in love with the idea of being in love. Her friends and family, as well as her team, are already starting to see the relationship fall apart.
Oh, boy. Oh,
okay. Big surprise.
Trouble in paradise already. Say it isn't so.
This story is obviously a Matt Valdez story. It's from the New York Post. There's an elite
this is Matt Valdez
that claims she can make $1,300 a day working out of her bedroom.
Oh, there's such a thing as an elite webcam girl?
Well, she's making that good money. She said that she can make $650 in 4 hours. She works 8 hours, you get the $1,300 a day.
That seems like pretty good money.
So, JP, I know sometimes you complain about your bills over there, Jason,
They can be
just gotta get the webcam
they can be
going
cam
on.
Boys.
What's the market for a middle-aged gray-haired donk?
It's not $1,300 a day.
It's not $1,300 a day.
This is a great question.
Well, what does she do?
She probably does everything.
Walks around with her butt showing.
She plays. Put it this way, she plays.
Yeah. Yeah. She sits there and talks to you, and then does probably whatever you tell her to do.
The answer is no. Yeah, of course not.
Oh no. All right. Obviously, you don't want your wife to do it. But would you go on a gay site? Right,
for how much?
$1,000 an hour. Let's double her money.
$1,000 an hour.
$1,000 an hour.
What are we doing?
No, that's way more
than
double money.
You're whistling.
Yeah, you're whistling.
You're whistling and talking to them.
I can't do that.
Yeah, I don't think you can do
that.
You
don't even have to talk to them.
I can't show
you
just, up to any family function for the rest of my life.
It's going to be a butt underground.
Yeah,
people aren't really going to know.
It doesn't matter.
It's like a dark web
stuff. It doesn't matter if it's a gay or straight platform. I just don't think you can do it.
Can't do it.
Well, it's because like girls don't care. So the girls don't want to see that. So it's obviously guys are going to be your audience.
Right. Yeah.
So, okay, here's a scenario. I'm going to tighten it up for you a little bit.
How about
it's dark
you answer
web,
it yourself? I will. Gave you a no.
I will. If it's dark web.
You didn't ask me yet.
I know you do anything for money.
Of course.
If it's dark web only.
Show me where.
If it's dark web only. Okay? So it's not real internet. It's just dark web for like drug dealers.
I feel like if I do the dark web,
and, like,
the next
thing I know,
Secret Service can be knocking on my
door. $1,000 an
hour. I might just do a one-off to cancel the bet that we're in right now. Just a quick one-off. One and done.
Just for 400?
Maybe.
To get that 400 back?
I would consider it.
Drabby?
So what's so special about this webcam girl,
I don't know there's anything special. She's just been willing. She's been willing to go on the record and talk about what she makes.
She's probably
How she look.
I don't know. I guess.
There was no picture of her.
I'm
sure you could Google her
I know
name.
You were digging for
I'm
the pic,
do
too.
Amber Kelly webcam girl. Brit. See
sure,
what comes
sure
up.
Amber Kelly's her real name.
Right.
There's probably 9 billion of them. Well, one of them is just atrocious. Hopefully it's not her.
I've been on camera before, and I didn't get paid anything. I loved it.
You liked your appearance.
I didn't make one nickel.
Drabby, where do you stand on that? Dark web only.
Am I just hooking?
Yeah, you're just hooking it by yourself. Solo. A solo show. $1,000 an hour.
Yeah, I do it for half that.
For 500 an hour. You do it today.
Right now.
You would.
You do it now.
Would you go in our office?
For you guys.
What about if we up the ante and it was you, Oakley, and a jar of peanut butter?
I'm not doing that.
I'm just asking.
He does that with the cameras off.
There's no consent there.
Yeah. This chick's body's absurd, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But when I Googled Amber Kelly webcam girl Brits, it's some big pig game up.
No, it's a sun.uk article where she's in a bikini.
Someone told me they saw...
Hello, I'm Amber Kelly. I saw
they saw Drabby at the Costco with a case of peanut butter.
Oh, they did? I bet.
I do buy peanut butter at Costco.
A case of it. You go through it so much.
Very suspicious.
You must make a lot of PB&Js in your house.
Jose Canseco is in the news. He's 54 years old, Cakes, and apparently he has just signed a contract with a professional wrestling promotion.
Oh, please. Tommy DeLay will probably buy the pay-per-view.
We were close to a boxing match with him at one point.
It's actually the same promotion that signed Teen Mom star Farrah Abraham. Now, she's not going to wrestle, but they do mention that he's got a couple fights. He has an MMA fight, which was a goof, where he took on a 7'2" Korean.
Right, I remember that.
He dispatched of him in 77 seconds. All right. And then, of course, he has two celebrity boxing matches.
He got worked by Vi Sikahema.
Vi Sikahema just destroyed him. And then he finished with a draw against Danny Bonaducci. He couldn't even beat Danny Bonaducci.
I'm telling you, we were close to making that fight happen.
Yeah, we had Damon Feldman was promoter.
Yes.
Damon Feldman.
Yeah, I think he almost committed suicide or he attempted suicide.
Oh, really?
He was in such financial distress. Within the last few years. Four have been indicted in the Florida shooting death of rapper XXXTentacion Cakes. These guys are just idiots. Four guys, all under the age of 22. Dedrick Williams, Michael Boatwright, Trayvon Newsom, and Robert Allen. Two of them are in custody. Two of them police are continuing to search for. So apparently it's just a robbery. They robbed him. They parked their SUV.
So they had
SUV.
No idea who he was?
No,
they
I think,
did?
Well, they were watching him.
Oh, please okay. tell me
they
that
They parked
guy
in front
didn't...
of his car, blocked him in, came out, stole his, like, Louis Vuitton bag, which by the way, had $50,000 in cash Oof. In it.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, shocker, these idiots were taking pictures of themselves with $100 bills right. all over themselves.
Please tell me that guy didn't have one of your top 100 songs of the century.
No, but Sad's a pretty good song. I do like that.
Cakes, did you see the video of the two guys in Manhattan who got out of the Land Rover on Fifth?
No.
I don't know what street it was.
Did not.
And they had baseball bats, and they attacked the guy on the street.
Why?
On video.
Did not.
No idea.
It was like a hit. Like they targeted him?
I mean, they had to have been targeting him. No right. idea who the guy was or the victim. They pummeled the guy with a baseball bat and just got back in their Land Rover and drove off.
Well, they're
probably
definitely going to get caught.
Oh,
I mean, there's video surveillance everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They were all over CNN yesterday.
Yeah.
Pretty smart.
And last but not least, Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio, I don't know why this is coming out now, but this is also a Page Six deal, revealed, I guess, recently in an interview, the director, Gus Van Sant, revealed that both Pitt and DiCaprio passed on Brokeback Mountain back in 2006 when
they
that
did.
Movie came out.
Ah. So it went to Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger.
Right. Which... I mean, it was a career boost for both those guys.
Absolutely.
For a while, right? Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
What's Jake Gyllenhaal doing these days?
He's done some good movies.
Being Dreamy and Rich.
But has he been in like a movie in like the last year or two? I'm sure he
Probably.
Has. None is coming to mind.
Wasn't he in The Fighter that last year?
I feel like that
four?
Was like 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wasn't that far back.
Yeah. There you go. That's it. We already talked about Jimmy Garoppolo dating a porn star. That's embarrassing.
One of the last movies I saw Jake Gyllenhaal in was Everest, and he was freezing to death on Mount Everest.
Man, that
looked
a,
like a lot of fun.
That was a good flick, though.
It was a good flick.
He is in one, according to Wiki, he's in three films this year.
Any of them like big budget films?
No,
or are they
no idea.
Minor. They have a picture of Meghan Markle's dad leaving McDonald's. He's 74 years old. He's leaving McDonald's with a Happy Meal.
Well, on his birthday.
Happy Meals are delicious.
On his birthday. So there you go. I entertained you.
You did.
I thoroughly entertained you. I know that. By the way, Tiger birdied 11, I think it is. He's back to even par.
Yes. And he has a birdie putt here.
Makeable?
On track.
It's a long one.
On track to make the cut.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, he is.
Zach Johnson's your leader at 6 under. He was 4 under today.
Zach Johnson and Tommy Fleetwood both had big days today.
Fleetwood and then Kevin Kisner.
It'd be nice if Tiger could find a way. It'd be almost impossible. The last six are really tough.
Rory played well.
You get a birdie or two on the way in.
Rory was 2 under today. He's 4 under for the tournament.
16 is terrifying. A 256-yard par three, you know, where you got to be so precise. The game is unrelatable.
By the way, I botched it. The Fighter starts Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, South Ball, okay. You're thinking.
South Ball,
yeah,
the
that's
one.
The one.
Yeah,
right. There you go.
You're just botching things. You botched your Alicia Keys song.
Not an expert on those topics. Throw them out.
I'm still trying to find your expertise. Mine too. Believe me.
We're all searching.
I'm almost 50.
Well, I know what Valdez is. It's European Tour.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly
that's
is.
His expertise.
I think we're experts in being mediocre. Yeah. That's been the hallmark of our careers.
We've perfected mediocre.
Yes. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, the only way that you can take 106.7 The Fan with you is with the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us or anybody else here on 106.7 The Fan. Anytime, anywhere in the good old United States of America. Take it with you. Take it with you this summer.
Can't just pick up the transmitter or take like... that room that has all the blinking lights
nope.
and all those machines, just pick that up with you?
Radio.com, Ricky.
That seems a little more convenient.
That's the way it's done.
So NFC East predictions are out.
Ooh.
Well, there's just a million. Now, if you just go, I never go to the magazine rack anymore. Does anybody go to the actual magazine rack?
Very
in the
rarely.
Store?
I mean, I see it every once in a while. The only time I will buy
the
a
airport.
Magazine. all year long is in the summer, because I'm still a sucker for at least one fantasy football periodical.
It's not bad. Like, you go to Kiowa, not bad to probably
and sometimes I get
it.
Like a college football annual, just kind of, you know,
just
get
so
up
you
to
have
speed.
A reference.
But those are printed like 6 months ago, like, or whatever, when they
but still, I like
put together.
I like to have it in my hands.
But if they have, like, the schedules, depth charts, you know, how many guys are coming back,
most
you just flip to the team.
Yeah, it's good. It's
most
good
of them are updated. It's not like they might not have the last month of news, but most of them are pretty updated. But anyway, if you walk by those aisles right now, you are seeing your annuals, your college.
So many of them.
Football, your fantasy football, and you're seeing your predictions. And we have an NFC East prediction that we wanted to go through. Who wrote this article?
Nate Davis. He was on with Dukes yesterday.
Okay, so Nate Davis came on with Chad Dukes, and he wrote this NFC East breakdown. It's not something that's super in depth, but he has the Eagles, of course, winning the division at 11-5, and then he has every other team at 7-9, including the Redskins.
Wow,
which I think that's about what we have.
Yeah, I think we were at 7-9, 8-8. I don't know, maybe one of us had 9 wins.
Somewhere around that, in that range.
I can give you, this is as of April 20th, all right, when we went through the schedule. I had them 5-11.
Wow.
How about that? I have them at a brutal, I think the second half of their schedule is brutal. Cakes has them at 7-9. Jason has them at 7-9. JP has them at 6-10. I think that's the most recent time we went through
the
schedule.
So we don't even have them at 500.
Yeah, safe to say
not
we're not
one junkie here
on
has them at 500.
I mean, look, they didn't finish 500 last year. They did draft Daron Payne and Darius Geis. If they're impact players, maybe they'll be better. You need the guys to stay healthy. But a lot of the guys that you need to stay healthy don't have a track record.
Were those
healthy.
Predictions post-draft or pre-draft?
You'd have to check the dates.
Sounds like it's a little bit before
April
the draft.
April 20th.
Right? Oh, that's before the draft.
I thought we did. So we have threatened to do one post-draft because I like their draft.
I thought we did.
You might bump
sure
up to 6-10.
Right next to it? Like, are there two columns per person?
There are two columns. Yeah, no, that's it. That's all we got.
All right, so what's the biggest question mark right now with this team going into camp?
I think health will...
Oh, let's assume every team has that as a question mark.
Well, no, but they have guys. Are you going to see Jordan Reed play the majority of games? Is Trent Williams returning healthy?
Well, those guys have to be healthy for them to have a quality year. But
right.
I would say... What kind of impact does Darius Geis have?
Yeah, I think, is he the real deal?
Is
Can he
be the real
a difference
guy?
Maker?
Right. I mean, because everyone's high on him.
I think
everyone's
most people say
Darius
the
Geis.
Secondary. The secondary is big question marks there. You know, including...
Because you let Bashaud Breeland go?
Well...
Is Quentin Dunbar going to be the number two? Is it be Josh Norman and Dunbar?
Looking that way.
Or Skandrick.
At this point.
Or Skandrick.
Skandrick's an oft-injured guy, kind of getting up there in years. I'd be stunned if he was your number
Fabian
two corner.
Fabian Moreau a corner?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they drafted him.
Well, they're expecting more out of him this
year. There'll be some competition.
Yeah, I agree. Drafted Troy Apke at safety. Still got Monte Nicholson.
That's another guy who's a big injury question mark.
All right, so
but when he's healthy, he's a stud.
When he's healthy, he's very good.
So secondary is a question
I think
mark.
It's secondary. Well, to me, I think Josh Doctson's a big question.
Yeah. Well,
this is a make or break for him.
Plus the quarterback, too. Like, we kind of expect it to be a lateral move, but let's see. Let's see how Alex Smith performs. That's the biggest factor. Let's be real. The biggest factor is, will Alex Smith play like he did last year, or will he regress to that guy that had an entire season, 16 games, without a touchdown to a wide receiver?
Well, that's not going to happen. He's going to throw touchdowns to wide receivers.
Well, if that sort of season transpires, it's more in the 5-11 or 6-10 range.
Does he fit? Does everything fit?
Yeah.
That's a big question.
I think he's going to be very, very solid, but it's just a lot of it's
so
going to be out of his hands. Like, he'll handle his business and be very competent, very, very polished.
I think
professional.
In some ways
there's
he should
so
be
much
better
he can
because
do.
I think he limits the amount of turnovers. Not that Kirk was Mr. Turnover the last couple of seasons, but Alex Smith really takes care of the ball, mostly because he's super conservative.
And we're going to be sized when we see how athletic he is. He's still, at his age, he could still move.
Oh, absolutely. He can run.
He can run. And that's sort of an element we haven't had since RG3, and he's not looking to run first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally different.
Well, they're going to have to use him. They've definitely got to use him.
I'm starting to get sized.
I don't know if I see the Giants jumping to 7 wins. Weren't they poop last year?
Did they win 2 games last year?
Just because they had drafted Saquon, Odell Beckham. I don't. Is he going to even play with them? Is he showing up at camp? Like,
yeah, he's going to play with them.
But teams bounce back all the time.
That's true.
And remember, he wasn't healthy last year. I mean, that's a huge addition. If you want to equate it to that,
I think going into the year, the Giants were one of the favorites in the NFC.
Yep.
They just bombed out.
I mean, Eli's Eli, and he's going to have some poopers. He is. But he's got some weapons.
But if Barkley's the real deal, and why wouldn't he be? And Odell Beckham bounces back. Shepherd is there.
They got Engram at tight end.
Engram at tight end. Really good young tight end. They have some pieces.
They really do.
It's a matter of whether the defense can stop
people. There's always teams where you go, oh, well, they suck last year. So you just kind of get it's in your head that they're going to suck again. But there's bounce backs.
Always are bounce backs.
And then the Giants could be one of them. Who knows?
I wonder if Redskins fans were upset by Ben McAdoo's comments that the Redskins are just – the Washington's just Washington. So, you know what I mean? They're just always going to be sort of the bottom dwellers.
Right. Well, you might be right.
It's hard to – I got him at 5-11. But that I think that was before the draft.
I know it doesn't necessarily mean anything, but when they did that top 100 players list, which the players vote on, which they air on the NFL Network.
How many guys do we have in the top 100?
They have hardly anybody. They don't have elite players. Like, they don't have an Odell Beckham Jr. on the team.
No, they
don't. Who's their most elite player at his position?
Probably Trent Williams.
Trent Williams.
It's got to be Trent Williams.
Maybe Ryan Kerrigan.
Norman.
Maybe Norman, but his play slipped.
A bad year.
His play slipped.
I agree. Yeah, they don't have many.
Jordan Reed's elite when he's healthy.
Yeah, but there's all these qualifiers for these guys. Josh Norman when he has a good year.
I agree.
Jordan Reed when he's healthy.
They don't have any sillies, but they still have pretty good talent throughout.
The defensive line could be a huge plus if Allen and Payne are the real deal. I mean, Allen we know can play if he's healthy, but.
Yeah, but still, I think the jury's still out on Allen. He only played like five.
He played five games. I get it. But that could really be a strong point for their team if Allen stays healthy and Payne's the real deal, and they're playing next to each other.
And the praise of Allen, it wasn't so much on what he did; it was on the defense's ranking as a whole. And maybe it was partly because of what he did, but it's not like he was flashing in the games. At least when I was watching, I wasn't noticing him that much.
But you often don't notice those guys.
True. It's true. And I'll admit that. It's tough. But you wonder if that was, like, people go, oh, look what the defense was in the first five games. Well, that might have been based on the opponents and some of those other things.
So let's look at just the first four games, just for kicks, right? I know we got to go to break here a second. Are the Cardinals going to start Josh Rosen?
Bradford.
Yeah, Sam Bradford.
Bradford's going to start.
Yeah.
All right, unless Rosen just kills it in camp and leapfrogs, I don't see that happening.
I've heard only great things about Rosen. Like who was the veteran that was saying how he was blown away?
Said Orlovsky say that Rosen is in the perfect fit.
No, but there's a veteran who's on that team that says he can't believe how he's taking control of the huddle, his grasp of the offense, the swagger.
No, but I'm sure he's fine.
It's only a matter of time.
There's just no way that they're going to start him over Sam Bradford.
In week one.
Okay. When he's healthy, all right, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Bradford's a hack.
All right, so I think that's actually a wash. I don't even know where I had that.
Look at Bradford's first game last year before he got injured against the Saints. He was carving them up. He was putting up big numbers.
Is Luck scheduled to start week one, or is that still just a big joke?
I think he's supposed to.
He's throwing again, right?
Last I checked, he hadn't thrown a full-size football.
Is he throwing a Nerf ball?
He's throwing K2s.
Well, they let him play with a Nerf ball in week two against
the Duke Jr.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can he throw the football with the fins on the back?
They might get a break there. They might get a break. If you play the Colts without Luck, I'm taking my boys. And then the Cardinals with Bradford.
He might take him even with Luck.
But then they have Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. Those are two losses, in my opinion.
And in this article where Nate Davis has the Redskins at 7-9, points out that after or starting with the Thanksgiving game at Dallas, they have a stretch of 4 out of 5 on the road to close out the season.
Right, including dates at Philly, at Jacksonville, at what should be an improved Tennessee team, and then they close out the season at home against Philadelphia.
Right. Those are tough.
Pretty tough.
That's a brutal
schedule.
Stretch right
They're going to need some injuries.
If you want to chime in,
800-636-1067,
we're throwing it out there. What's the biggest question for you when it comes to the Redskins? They open up camp in 6 days.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.